إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا إنه من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فإن خير الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار أما بعد إخوتي وأخواتي في الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته Inshallah, this is going to be a continuation of the explanation of the book Al-Muntaqa by Sheikh Majduddin Ibn Taymiyyah alayhi rahmatullah. Bab As'ar al-Ba'ahim. The chapter has to do with the As'ar of the Ba'ahim. The word As'ar is a plural of the word Sur. And Sur is the leftover water by anybody. So we have the Surul Insan, the leftover water of a human being. We have Sur Al-Sab'i, that is the leftover water of a wild animal. We have Sur Al-Hayawan Al-Ma'kul Al-Lahmi, the leftover water of eatable animal. So what is the ruling of this leftover water as far as the issue of the purity of the water is concerned? If a human being drinks from a bowl, for instance, or a cup, or from a kettle, what is left over undoubtedly is pure. Even if the person that has taken the water is a kafir. If the animal that has left over the water is eatable animal, undoubtedly the water is also pure, because the animal that has taken from the water is something that we eat. It means that its su'uru, its leftover water, will be pure. The highest we can say is that it has mixed with his saliva. And since the animal itself is eatable, so definitely the leftover water remains pure. The leftover water remains pure. So these scholars, they all agree on this. But where they differ is when the water is leftover by animal that is not eatable. When the water is left over by an animal that is not eatable, are we going to say the water is pure or not? Based on what we have discussed before, if the water is much and is more than 2 kulla, we said the Shafi'iyya and the Hanabila, they are of the opinion that any water that is more than 2 kulla, if a few falls into each, water is pure. Unless if the filth changes the color or the taste or the odor. How this is clear? Why to the Hanafiya held the opinion that water is not pure? Unless if the water is as much as a big pool, that is, when you shake this side of it, the other side will not be affected. How this is clear? Now on this, the Shafi'iyya, they have a position. The Shafi'iyya, they have a position. Which position is that? To them, the animals, all the animals, with the exception of the dog and what? And the pig, the asar is what? Is pure. You know, their principle is that if filth falls into water that is not up to true cooler, it's filthy. Water becomes filthy. But now, them, they also have the position that the asar of the Baha'im, with the exception of the dog and what, and the pig, is pure. So if a lion drinks from the water now, you can perform ablution with it, you can take ghusl of janaba, ghusl of haid with the leftover water. How this is clear? Now the Malikiya, to them, the as'ar of the Ba'ahim will also be pure. Huh? Except what? Huh? This is because to them, even that of the dog, they believe it is not because it's not pure. But it is what? Ta'abbut. It is ta'abbut. So when they talk about the ashar being impure, the ashar of the predators, so to say, if they believe the ashar is impure, so not, that is, if they believe it is not pure, that is not the position of the Shafi'iyya and the Malikiyya. The Malikiyya. So as for the Hanabila, they take that position of what? What's the position? That is the asar of the predators. That is the animals that are not eatable. The asar, the leftover water is what? Is impure. But they also made exceptions. Like a cat, for instance. Like what? The cat. They exempted the cat. They exempted the cat. Based on what? The hadith that the Prophet said, إِنَّهَا لَيْسَتْ بِنَجَسْ إِنَّهَا مِنَ الطَّوَّافِينَ عَلَيْكُمْ وَطَوَّافَتْ. So they exempted that. So they also exempted animals that are tawafun or tawafat, like the rats, as I mentioned the other time. So animals like that, so they also are exempted the himar, the donkey. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam forbade the eating of the donkey, but they exempted the donkey as well, because the donkey is one of the tawafun and the tawafat. And if you look at it, the Muslims, the early Muslims, they will ride on it, and definitely it will sweat, or they will sweat. Their garment may be wet, or his body may be wet. And when your body is wet, and you touch something that is filthy, it has affected your body. Or that thing that is filthy is wet, your body is dry, you touch that thing that is filthy, it has affected your body. Now this is clear. So they made some exception by saying, okay, so-and-so is exempted, so-and-so is exempted. When we talk about the animals that are not eatable, you say they are najisa, which is the askar, a what? A najisa. So this is the position of the Hanabila. But the Shafi'iyya, they said no, the askar are what? The askar are pure. Likewise, the Malikiyya, so they exempted that of the pig, likewise that of the dog. So let us go through this hadith. Hadith Ibn Umar في الكلتين يدل على نجاستها. The hadith of Ibn Umar concerning the two kulla يدل على نجاستها points to the fact that the ashar of the Baha'im is what? Is najis. The ashar of the Baha'im are najisa. وإلا يكون التحديد بالكلتين في جواب السؤال عن ورودها على الماء عبثا. The Sheikh said, if we do not consider the leftover water of the Baha'im, if we do not consider the leftover water of the Baha'im to be najisa, that means the hadith the restriction of two kulla is meaningless. You know, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was asked, according to the hadith, that we have some ponds, for instance, that the predators and the likes, the animals who come and drink water from it. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, إِذَا بَلَغَ الْمَاءُ كُلَّتَيْنَ إِذَا كَانَ الْمَاءُ كُلَّتَيْنِ لَمْ يَحْمِلْ الْخَبَثِ. If the water is up to two kulla, it does not carry what? Filth. So what this means is that if it is not up to two kulla, it carries filth. So this is what the Sheikh is referring to here. That is, if we do not consider that hadith of two kulla, that restriction of two kulla, it means the hadith is meaningless. It means the hadith is meaningless. This statement of the Sheikh buttresses the madhab of Hanabila and the Shafi'iyya. The Hanabila and the Shafi'iyya. So as for the Malikiyya, so they will say this hadith, it's rather say there is a prob in it. In some of the wordings, two kulla, in some, one kulla, in some, three kulla, four kulla, like that. He said, that is what? It's a rob. Or they say, you are not going to make use of the mafhumul mukhalafa. Why? Because of the mantuq of the other hadith. إِنَّ الْمَاءَ طَوُورٌ لَا يُنَجِّسُهُ شَيْءٍ. How this is clear? Because of the mantuq. That is, water is pure and nothing makes it impure. Unless if it changes the color or the taste or the odor. That is, if the filth that has fallen into it changes the color or the odor or the taste. We say that is what the Malikiyya are upon. The Shafi'iyya and the Nabila, they hold on to the hadith of Kullatayn. So this should be understood. Now the Sheikh Ali Rahmatullah argues in favor of the position of the Hanabila. An Abi Hurairah radiyallahu anhu qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, idha walaga al-kalbu fi ina'i ahadikum falyuriqhu walyaksiru sabu amirarin, rawahu Muslimun wa an-Nasa'i. Abu Hurairah radiyallahu anhu reported that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when the dog licks the bow of one of you, falyuriqhu, or drinks from the bow of one of you, falyuriqhu, he should pour away the water. Walyaksilhu sab'a mirarin, he should wash it seven times. So mirar is a plural of what? Marra. Rawahu Muslim wa Nasai. So Al-Imam Muslim recorded this and Nasai. Now, this hadith is talking about a small bull. A small bull that the dogs drink from it. A small bull that the dogs drink from it. If the dog drinks from a water that is up to 2 kulla, does it carry najasa? Huh? According to the mazhab of the Malikiya, does it carry najasa? No. According to the mazhab of the Hanabila, does it carry najasa? No. The mazhab of the Shafi'iyya? No. Why? Why? Because it is up to kulla. And the fuse has not changed the color or the odor or the taste. But if it is a small bowl and it drinks from it, the dog drinks from it or licks the bowl, for instance, and its saliva, the saliva of the dog mixes with the little water. So to them, the water is what? It's najis, it's impure. And if you want to go by the hadith, or some of the words of the hadith, طَهُورُ إِنَاءِ أَحَدِكُمْ إِذَا وَلَغَ فِيهِ الْكَلْبُ أَنْ يَكْسِلَهُ سَبْعَ مَرَّاتٍ إِرْقُلَأُنَّ بِالتُرَبُ. We say what? The position is correct. Because when we compare the hadith of وُلُوغُ الْكَلْبُ, the dog drinking from إِنَاء. إِنَاء is a bowl, small water. If we compare this hadith with the hadith of the Siba and the Dawab, that the predators, the beast will come and drink from a pond. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, إذا كان الماء كل تلم يحمل الخبث. So when you look at this hadith of Siba and this hadith of what? Dog drinking from a bowl, you say what? The position of the Shafi and the Hanabila is correct. Are you with me? Then one may say what the position of the Malikiya is incorrect. That is, if you look at the hadith of what Wuluh al-Kalb, if the dog drinks from the bowl, because the bowl is what? Small water. The bowl is small and it contains what? Little water. What did the Malikiya say concerning the hadith of what Wuluh al-Kalb? They say it is not because the water is impure, it is what? Ta'abbut. You get it now? And the argument is that if it is because the water is impure, the same dog is catching animal for you and you are eating it. The same dog is catching animal for you and you are eating it. That means the animal has become what? Impure too. So why are you not washing it with sand 7 times? The way you wash a bowl that the dog drinks from. He said, it shows that what it is ta'abbud. For this reason, some of the scholars said, even if the dog catches an animal for you, you have to wash that place 7 times. Wash that bite of the dog 7 times. Some scholars, they say that. In order to maintain what? Their position. Some said you have to cut away that place. You have to cut it away. So you see how the scholars, how they derive their what? Their positions. So if you want to go by the hadith of the Kalb, one may say the position of the Hanabila and the Shafi'iyya, likewise the Hanafiyya. Only that the Hanafiyya, they go above what? That of Kullatain. How did they interpret the hadith of Kullatain? It says, كَانَ الْمَاءُ كُلَّتَيْنِ لَمْ يَحْمِلِ الْخَبَثِ. If water is what? Is كُلَّتَيْنِ, is up to كُلَّةِ. لَمْ يَحْمِلِ الْخَبَثِ. يعني, لَمْ يَتَحَمَّلِ الْخَبَثِ. Do you get the difference? Do you know the difference between لَمْ يَحْمِلِ الْخَبَثِ and لَمْ يَتَحَمَّلِ الْخَبَثِ? Who can tell us the difference? If I say تحملت شيئا, what does that mean? I bear something, I bought something. Hamaltu shay'an, I also what? I bought something. But hammala is taught to withstand something. Yeah. Lam yahmil al-khabar, yani lam yatahammal al-khabar. That is, it cannot withstand the khabar. Meaning, it is also impure. If somebody says, I cannot withstand the heat, it means the wheat is stronger than what? Than him. I can't withstand the cold. What does that mean? It's too much. So if the water is too cool, لم يحمل الخبث. لم يتحمل الخبث. It means the khabath, what will affect it. Did you get it? But if you go by those who have interpreted لم يحمل الخبث, it means it will push the khabath away. Unless if the khabath is what? Affects it. See? So, and that's why they brought about the issue of what? If this side is what? Shaking, for instance, it won't affect the other side. All they say is what? If this it is 6 by 6 or so, or looking at what? That view of Budoa. And when they say they measure that of Biru Budoa, they are talking about what? It is 6 feet. Or 6 cubits, rather. So, in the matter of the Hanafiya, they don't have what? Firm things there. They have what? Varied positions on what should be the amount of the water or so. But they try to relate with all the hadith. This way interpret this hadith this way, the other way interpret the hadith this, the other way. So the Shaykh Ali Rahmatullah brought the hadith of the Wulugul Kelb in order to support the position of the Hanabila. So and we said they all agree. If it is eatable animal, that the ashar is what? Is pure. If it is not eatable, so we said the Malikiya and the Shafi'iya, they consider the ashar to be what? To be pure. Despite the fact that the Shafi'iya, to them, they use the hadith of Qullatayn, but is the ashar, or are the ashar, that is the leftover water of the non-eatable animals impure rather, huh? So they said no. So should be able to differentiate a position as far as this matter is concerned and the position of the Hanabila. They share the same position with the Hanabila. With what? With respect to when a feet falls in water, when does the water become impure? But now they are talking about the ashar of non-eatable animal, is their ashar impure or not? This is a different matter. They've agreed that if is what? Is a filth. The water that we accommodate filth, if the filth is not much to the extent that it changes the water, the water should not be less than what? 2 kulla. They agree, the two mazhab agree here. But they disagree in some things that constitute filth. Is this sur of non-eatable animal a filth or not? You get it now? Is the sur of non-eatable animal a filth or not? They disagree. So the Shafi'a said no, except that of the dog and pig. Hope this is clear. Why The Hanabila said they are what? They are filth. Now the Sheikh says, Babu Sur Al-Hir. Babu Sur Al-Hir. That is the chapter of the leftover water of Hikat. And Kafshat binti Ka'b bin Malik wa kanat tahta Abi Qatada. Kafshat, the daughter of Ka'b bin Malik, one of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that is Ka'b bin Malik. So Kafsha was the daughter of Ka'b bin Malik wa kanat tahta Ibn Abi Qatada. He was married to the son of Abu Qatada. And Abu Qatada, Kafsha said that Abu Qatada, that is father-in-law, دخل عليها, entered upon her, فتكبت له وضوءا, and she, Kafsha, poured water of ablution for him. فجاهت هرة تشرب منه. So the cat came to drink from that bowl. فأغلى الإناء حتى شربت. So it tilted the bowl for the cat. حتى شربت, till the cat drank. Ordinarily, if you are asked, from what you have known from the madhab of the Hanabila, the cat is an animal that what? That owns and is not eatable. Correct? So ordinarily the leftover water of a cat, ordinarily based on what you know of the madhab of the Hanabila, the leftover water of a cat should be filth. But look at what happened here. Qalat Kafsha, Kafsha, the daughter of Ka'b bin Malik, who was the wife of the son of Abu Qatada, said, فَرَآنِي أَنْظُرْ إِلَيْهِ. So Abu Qatada saw me looking at him. فقال, Abu Qatada said, أَتَعْجَبِينَ يَا ابْنَتَ أَخِي. Are you surprised, O daughter of my brother? فَقُلْتُ نَعْمْ. Kafsha said, I said yes. فقال, Abu Qatada said, إِنَّ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ قَالْ. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, inna alaysat bi najasin. It is not najas. It is not what? Najas. Huh? Is it clear? Inna alaysat bi najasin. Inna natawafina alaykum wa tawafat. The cat is among the animals that go around you. The cat is among the animals that go around you. So you benefit from that statement that if it is najas that falls in that water, it becomes what? Filthy. If a najas, a najasa, falls in what? In that small bowl, most likely it will change it. So the Hanabila and the Shafi'iyya and the Hanafiya, whether it changes it or not, it's a small bowl. But the Malikiyah will be waiting for it to be changed. According to what? The way they are mazhab, the way they are what? The position in the mazhab of the the Malikiyah. So, Messenger of Allah establishing this statement of his, Inna alaysa binajas. Then he said what? Inna hamina tawafina alaykum wa tawafat. Another ruling. It is among the tawafun and the tawafat. So from this, the Hanabila, they drew the ruling that what is applicable to the cat should be transferred to other tawafun and tawafat. So they look at other tawafun, they see what? The donkey, the sea, the rat, and the likes. All these are what? Tawafat. So the word gecko, for instance, you don't eat it, it will be among the tawafat. You get it? From this statement, inna amina tawafina alaykum wa tawafat. The dog should go in. Because the dog is among the tawafun and tawafat, the dog should go. But they exempted the dog with what hadith? إذا ولد الكلب في إناء أحدكم فليركه وليكسل صبا مرارين. Get it now. Is it clear? So if you want to go by the hadith of إِذَا بَلَغَ الْمَاءُ كُلَّةٍ لَمْ يَعْمِلِ الْخَبَثِ, the cat watch should also be inclusive. Or the hadith of Abu Qatada excluded the cat. إِنَّا مِنَّا الطَّوَّافِينَ عَلَيْكُمْ وَالطَّوَّافَاتِ. إِنَّا عَلَيْسَ بِالنَّجِسِ إِنَّا مِنَّا الطَّوَّافِينَ عَلَيْكُمْ وَالطَّوَّافَاتِ. If you want to go with, you want to go by the hadith, إِنَّا مِنَّا الطَّوَّافِينَ عَلَيْكُمْ وَالطَّوَّافَاتِ, the dog should be what? Included. But it is excluded by the hadith, إِذَا وَلَغَ الْكَلْبُ فِي إِنَاءِ أَحَدِكُمْ وَإِذَا شَرِبَ الْكَلْبُ فِي إِنَاءِ أَحَدِكُمْ فَلْيَغْسِلْهُ صَبْوًا. So, is it clear? So each hadith, as you are looking at, you see what is this now at, you see okay, that there is restriction, there is exception. When you look at all the hadith, one hadith, إِنَّ الْمَاءَ طَهُورٌ لَا يُنَجِّسُهُ شَيْءٍ. You ask what? Say it is tawur as long as the najasa has not changed it. You have to add that. Because if you want to go by the general meaning of that hadith, it means all the water will be pure, including the one that the dog drinks from, including the one the ones that the Bahaim or the predators and the likes, the wild animals. So the hadith have one key to istisna. Hope is clear. So the author brought this hadith of Surah Al-Hir in order to exempt it from what? The general ruling that he has passed above. You know, his general ruling is that it covers all the animals that are not eatable. Then he brings this hadith of what Al-Hir in order to exempt it. But the Shafi'iyya, they will say what? The Afar of the Bahaim are what? Pure. Then they exempt that of the dog. They exempt what? Pig. What is the evidence for that of the pig? Who can give us? What is the evidence for exempting the pig? Kulla ajid fima uhiya ilayya muharraman ala ta'imin yata'amu illa yakuna maytatan aw daman masfuhan aw lahma khinzirin. What follows? Fa innahu rijsun aw fiskun uhilla lighayla. So fa innahu rijsun, it is rijs. فَإِنَّهُ رِجْسٌ, it is rich. You get it now. So, and you know the case, he said what? إِنَّهَا لَيْسَ بِنَجَسٍ. So that of the pig is established to be what? Rich, which is what? Najas. And that's why the Shafi'iyya said, with the assumption of what? The pig. What is the evidence? فَإِنَّهُ رِجْسٌ. With the assumption of the dog, what is the evidence? وَلَغَ الْكَلْبُ. Is it clear? So the Malikiya, they only take that off the pig. Are you with me? With what? For inna urichsun. But they don't take that of the dog because they don't believe that the dog is what? Najis. Huh? They don't believe that what? That of the dog is what? Is najis. So they believe it is ta'abbuj. So the tahur ina yahdikum, you say the tahur does not really mean because it is impure. You did the ta'wil of the tahur there, it does not really mean what? It is impure. So meaning, the Malikiya, they see the ashar of the animals, all of them to be pure, except the Shafi'iyya, they see the ashar of the animals, all of them to be pure, with the exception of pig and dog. The Hanabila, they see the ashar of only eatable animals as what? Pure. As for the non-eatable animals, the ashar are what? Impure. With the exception of cat and the other tower food. So at times they say animals that are small, like what? Like the cat, maybe smaller than the cat or the same level with the cat. Is it clear? How this is clear? So these are the madhahib of the scholars. These are the madhahib of the scholars. Summaries on this matter. So that depends on which one you are convinced of. Somebody is convinced with the position of the Shafiriyah will be establishing that of the Shafiriyah. Somebody is convinced of the position of the Hanabila will be establishing that of the Hanabila. How this is clear? So which one do you think is the worthiest of all of this? The Malikiyah. Why do you say the Malikiyah? No, they did not exempt it all. They only exempted the...
Because of the eye of the Quran.
Okay.
Then he included dog because of the two hadiths.
Okay.
Because of the hadiths that Fali measured. Then because of the fact that Islam permitted dog to be hunted for us.
What? Is no. Any other comment? No. Which one do you think? Now you find yourself in a situation like this, or somebody finds himself or herself in a situation like this, and the person asks you, which one you think you tell the person that this is what, or which one will you do? The Shafi'iyya. That is the Ashar now. We are talking about the Ashar. Okay.
So that's one sounds more medium to me. But generally, if you see dog, let's not even like their own phone, or we see them in a dirty environment or two. So if they jump from our water, I might not hold it to drink.
But if the same dog hunts for you, eat it.
Yes, I would think the number of those scholars that say, if you also follow the idea, you wonder
if you follow the idea. And now that means, okay, you are with the Malikiyah then. If you say that, you are with the Malikiyah, not with the Shafi'iyah. The Shafi'iyah, they have the opinion that when the dog hunts, you don't need to catch. Even by burning, when you roast it, so to say, so you believe fire will kill it. Particularly, scholars are trying to look for why, as the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that we should be washing the bowl. They said there is a kind of a tapeworm that is included in the saliva of a dog, that nothing can kill it except the sand. Huh? So some are saying that medically it is proven now. So now the question is, what if there is something that is similar to the sand that can also do the same thing that the sand would do to the saliva of a dog? That's why some scholars are of the opinion that you can use it instead of using what? Sand. Some of the opinion that, you know, let us stick to the text. The Messenger of Allah did not tell us the reason why he has asked us to use sand. Now you are saying medically it has been proven. He did tell you that what he's telling you, he has asked you to do that because of what? The medical effect or implication. So, and that's why you see some scholars will say, instead of using the sand, you can use what?
Fire.
Obon, not fire. Instead of using sand, you can use all this, what do you call it? Disinfectants, or what do you call all this, detergents and lice. You can use that they are okay to also take care of that. And that's why some ask, if a dog licks my garment, for instance, I have to wash the garment 7 times and sand. Oh, it is sufficient when I wash it with clean and the likes. So they believe that, you know, it has removed that. They said maybe in the past, because there was no much money to buy things like that, and the messenger did not want to watch because go through a lot of spending or hardship. He said, okay, you can use what? The sand to take care of that. But now you have the detergent that you can use that can do the same thing as the sand can do. So, but Allah alam, to remain with the text is more convincing than what going to this site. So, but as for the dog hunting for us and eating it, do we need to cut that place away? They said, no, we do not need to cut it away. So it is sufficient when you roast it or you cook it. If there is anything from there, it will disappear after the roasting and the cooking. So as some are saying, it is medically proven. So, wallahu alam, the position of the Shafi'iyah is strong. But as I said last week, that we on the same side, one can be with what? With the Hanabila. That position is the position of the Jumhur. When I say Jumhur now, that is what a lot of scholars are upon, is that the Ashar of Al-Hayawanat Ghiri Ma'kulati Al-Lahm, that is the leftover water of animals that are not eating, that they are what? That their leftover waters are what? Impure. Though when we talk about the witness of the evidence, that of the Shafi'iyah will be more convincing. So we'll look at what the worthiness of evidence is. One, you have taken into consideration the hadith Tawuri na yahdikum, which takes care of that of the dog. كل أجل فيما أخي إلي محرما على طعم يطعم إن يكون ميتة أو دما مسفوحا أو لاما أو لحم خنزير فإنه رجس. So other animals, we need the evidence that says the asar are what? Are filthy. So if we go by the hadith, إذا كان الماء كلتين لم يحمل الخبث. So when we go that, so one may say that Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam spoke generally, that even if it is filth, as long as water is up to 2 kulla, it does not bear what? So it's not necessarily saying that what the ashar of the animals that are not eatable, their leftover water is what? Because when you look at the hadith, we mentioned what as-siba and what ad-dawab. Ad-dawab covers both animals that are what? Eatable and eatable. You get it now? So, wallahu a'lam. Sometimes it is difficult to say this is what the correct opinion emphatically. So Allahu A'lam, in terms of evidence, one will say that of the Shafi'iyah is the weightiest. But to be on the safe side, one may go with what the position of the Jumhur, that the as'ar of the al-hewan غير المأكولة اللحم is نجسة والله أعلم. رواه الخمسة وقال الترمذي حديث حسن صحيح. وعن عائشة رضي الله عنها أنه كان يصغي عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أنه كان يصغي إلى الهرة الإناء حتى تشرب منه ثم أتوضأ بفضلها. رواه الدارقطني. So I think that is clear. So that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم who tilts the bowl for a cat to drink from it and he will perform from the leftover. So just like the hadith of Abu Qatada radiallahu anhu. So we'll stop here inshallah. So we are going to talk inshallah next week on the washing of the bowl that the dog dips or leaks from each. Wallahu alam.
الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسوله وآله وصحبه ومن والاه. So we do have questions. Questions. Okay. No questions. No. Come. Awesome.
Okay.
Well,
alhamdulillah, salatu wassalamu ala rasulillah. As I said, you have to have a position that you are convinced of. As a student of knowledge, when you learn this, you try to reach between the lines. It is not necessary that what your teacher is convinced of is what you'll be convinced of. It's not necessary. And a teacher should not teach his students that way, that he must take with what he is convinced of. However, as students, whatever position you are taking, it must be out of conviction. It must be something that has what evidence to buttress it. Now, if you find yourself in a situation of barura, can you shift your position to the other position? If it is not something that is done out of self-desires, if it is what darura that has pushed one to that, then one will change one's position. It will be what something temporary. There may be a situation like that. But it shouldn't be out of our desires. Take for instance, somebody who believes that it is haram to put money in the bank, for instance, which is a position of most scholars. But because of the fear of what theft, if you keep your money at home, you may be attacked by the armed robbers. They said, okay, you can loan the bank your money. Though the bank is going to loan the money to other persons with interest. You know this. Once you give your money to the bank is also loaning the money to another person with interest. So you are what? Mukil river. You allow somebody to eat river. But keeping the money at home, you are attacked, for instance. The money is carted away. And you put it in the bank, which one is lesser evil? So the scholars, most of them, the what you leave the position of what you being what not being a Mokilu River. So the position that what you can be Mokilu River, or because it's what it is necessity. Sheikh Al Albani Ali Rahmatullah, till death, his position is that he can't keep money in the bank. The money to when he heard that people say you may be attacked by the Amro, he said, did you tell them that I'm having money? Did you tell them, come and attack me? What the Sheikh says is what it makes sense. But at the same time, if people know that everybody is putting money at home, you don't need to tell them that what they already know that, oh, the Muslims don't keep their money at the bank. So let me be looking for every Muslim. So if you look at it from this angle, one may say what those scholars who have said what they said, their position is weirier. But ordinarily, they know that it is wrong for you to loan the bank. It is wrong for you to loan the bank. But they change their position because of what? The barura or the haja massa. They change their position. Not out of what? Hawa. So a similar thing is what we are facing now. Can you go to somebody that is doing this POS, whatever, to say, okay, this is my ATM card, give me 10,000 naira cash, and take 10,000 naira from my account. The person will say, what, I'm going to take 200 naira, that is what you are used to before. And the scholar said it is haram. Huh? Some scholars have said what? It is haram. Some said it is wakala. But if you look at it critically with what we are having today, you see that the issue of wakala does not go. Because it is clear that this thing is what? It's a way of duping people. To say it is wakala, somebody, you are giving me your ATM to go and collect the money for you, from which collecting? Somebody keeps money in front of him. You bring your ATM, he counts the money that he has kept. His own money, which wakala is that? His own money is in front of him and he's counting the money giving you, then withdrawing it from your account. So this is musarafa, you're changing money. But where I'm going is, the one who takes the position that it is what? It is riba for the person towards to take more than the charges of the machine, that he is going to benefit from it. Those who take the position now, with what people are facing now, they will have to change this position temporarily because somebody cannot get the cash. You can't get the cash. Nowhere you can get the cash. You go to the fuel station, you want to buy, what's it called? Fuel, petrol. They said, no, we are not taking it. We are not taking what? Transfer. We need cash. The old cash you have at home, they say, no, we are not taking the old cash. The old note. We want what? New notes. Where do I get the new notes? Go to that POS man. You get here. He says what? He's going to take 2,000 naira for every 10,000 naira. He said it's a way of duping people. So now you are forced to collect it. Or somebody who is in need of this cash, there is no any bank you can. He's living in remote areas, and this POS of a thing is brought to his watch, close to him. It's either he go to the what, the remote areas where he would travel far to get it, or the patronizes POS. So there may be situations like that the scholars may relax the ruling, just that they relax the ruling with respect to what you put in your money in the bank. Ordinarily, you are not supposed to be keeping money in the bank, because when you keep money in the bank, you are loaning the bank, and the bank is going to loan the money out with interest. And that's when the bank comes and give you from the profit. The scholar says, no, you can't benefit from it. So you should what? You should give it out. But they relax the ruling because of what is surrounding it. The same thing may be said here when there is a difficulty. And as the scholars will say, إِنَّ الْأَمْرَ إِذَا ضَاقَ تَسَعَ إِنَّ الْأَمْرَ إِذَا ضَاقَ تَسَعَ. So if something is too tight, then it tasa'a. It will be relaxed, it will be widened. وَإِذَا تَسَعَ ضَاقَ. When there is a kind of relaxation, and that relaxation is being misused, for instance, darker, it will be what? It will be tightened again. And that is part of the beauty of Islam. And that's why Allah asks us not to eat some animals. Not to eat any animals. Say from Purra, Fi Mahmasatin, Ghaira Mutajanifin li Ismi, Fa in Allah, Ghafurur Rahim. So, in response to the question, there may be darura or hajamasa that may make one shift one position temporarily. So if you are going to shift your position completely, it must be out of what? Conviction. Not let me just shift from this position to this, as some people would do today. Some people, their method is to say khalafa fil ulama. Scholars have differed on it. So you can take anything. No, it's not like you can take anything in Islam. No. You have to watch, do ijtihad to know which one is the closest to the truth. Then after your ijtihad, if you eat the point, you get to reward. If you do not eat the point, you get a reward for doing the ijtihad. Wallahu a'lam. Who wants to change his position? No, it's clear. The question is clear. Can a man change his position from niqab is wajib to niqab is not wajib because he wants to take his second wife? The answer is no. He can't do that. Unless if he's convinced that niqab is not wajib, and because he loves the woman, should not be what will propel him to change that position. You know, these things happen. Things like this happen. Huh? Imran bin Hittan was a Sunni scholar. He was in love with the Kharijiya. He approached the Khariji lady and with the intention that thought he would change her. But the lady eventually changed him from being a Sunni to a Khariji. So not because you love a lady, change your own position. Your position should remain that niqab is wajib, unless if there is something that convinces you otherwise. Even marrying the lady that says niqab is not wajib, and you the husband believe is wajib, is not advisable. Because there will be conflict. When she comes in, it's either you want to impose your position on her as a husband, or the love that you have for her blinds you and what makes you change what your position from being wajib to watch. So wallahu a'lam. No. Want to correct Now you believe it's not wajib. You believe it's wajib, and your wife believe it's not wajib. And you want to marry her. So how can you be keeping somebody that believes that what the cup is not wajib? That means your wife will be going out with her face unveiled. So you as a husband, you are supposed to watch. Order your wife to watch, to do the compulsory. So if you want her to do the compulsory and she tells you my position is that the niqab is not wajib, so how will you feel? So and that's why I said it's not advisable that one marry such a lady. But if you have the intention that, okay, if you marry her, you are going to watch, convince her to see the same position that what you see, or to respect your position as a husband. If you feel you are going to do that, so it is 50-50. If she comes in, she may accept your position and she may not accept your position. So, Allahu A'lam. No. My position on niqab is that it's not wajib. Yes. No, position must be taken based on what conviction. It must not be taken based on what interest. Somebody who takes a position on interest is likely to be shifting position all the time. Huh? Once you take position based on what? On interest or the love that you have for a particular sheikh, you'll be shifting ground. So if the sheikh that you love goes this way, you go. And this is what is affecting some of our brothers today. Who are what? Attacking some things of bid'ah before. You see them supporting that same bid'ah. Just in less than 2-3 years. Because the position was not based on what? On conviction. It was based on the love of some people. And when they see that some people that they love are falling into errors, you go with them into those errors. So we should be what? We should be stable and be convinced. When you change your position based on conviction, even if you make error, Allah may forgive you. But if it is based on interest and the love that you have for a particular person that you are changing your position, this undoubtedly is blameworthy. Wallahu a'lam. I think the time is gone. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك.